We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we are back. Dave St. Peter standing by. I just want to credit the texter. I took him to task a little bit for sending us the same text 2 weeks in a row when we answered it. And he sent an apology saying he appreciates that we used the task and he missed the response last week. So that settles that one. Dave St. Peter, I'm sure, has got a lot of topics that will be of interest to our listeners. Sid, why don't you start things off?
Let's talk about your team first. Where do you stand? Did Texas win last night? They lost.
Good morning. No, the Rangers lost last night, so we go into today's game in Detroit, which starts momentarily. Four and a half games clear of both Texas and Anaheim for the second wild card.
You almost a cinch to make that one game, right?
Don't say that to him.
Well, we've got a little work to do, Sid, but certainly things have turned for the better here over the last couple of days. We've gotten some help from Houston. We've gotten some help from Oakland, but we've also played pretty good baseball in Detroit, coming off of a tough series in New York. So. Hopefully we can finish the sweep today in Detroit and then go into Cleveland. And well, we've played well this year. I think we've won 5 out of 6 games in Cleveland. So hopefully we can build some momentum here and get to that postseason play. And one game, anything can happen, including in Yankee Stadium.
Let me ask you this. Is there any chance that St. Thomas would play every St. John's game? How much money did they make yesterday?
Well, Sid, obviously yesterday's game was wildly successful. Yeah, there's an economic component, but I think it was, frankly, more of a community component than just the celebration of that rivalry. The atmosphere at Target Field was sensational, and that all the credit there goes to the schools and that tradition. But, yeah, we'll look at football games in the future. We're committed to North Dakota State. The Bison Nation, so to speak, will take over Target Field in August of 2019, and then we'll assess where we're at. But, yeah, we're very open to a dialogue in the future, certainly with St. Thomas, St. John's, but maybe other regional rivalries and or brands.
Dave, congratulations on that. It surpassed, I think, everybody's expectations. How did that come together for you guys? Were you able to facilitate? Because it seemed we went from 20,000 to 37,000 almost overnight, and it just kept growing. Was it easy to make this thing happen?
Well, Mike, there's obviously a lot of history with that rivalry. I think putting it on a big stage was attractive to a lot of people from, frankly, all over the country to be part of it. I don't know if it would be that way if you played it every 2 years. I think that the fact of the matter is that there was a game within a game. There's no doubt that the folks in Collegeville were motivated to have more red in that stadium yesterday than purple.
And downtown was unbelievable.
Moreover, I guess I give the schools credit. I think that the game was affordably priced. It was an event, and it was just an incredible showcase for Division III athletics. So I'm really, really happy, most importantly for the coaches and for the players on those two teams. The Twins and Target Field were happy to play a role in giving them the spotlight that we think they deserved.
Did you get the income from the boxes? And what about the concession? That must have been a good deal for you.
Yeah. Sid, I can assure you, we would not have played the game yesterday had we lost money on it. So we made a little bit of money on that game, but, so did St. Thomas. They were the home team, and they were our partner. And, I think that, again, to me, that the economics is a secondary piece. It was more about what that atmosphere was like, and I think people felt it was a great day for Minnesota sports.
Is Larry DeVito the happiest man in America that it didn't rain yesterday?
No doubt. I talked to Larry after the game, and we weren't really sure what we were going to get in terms of how our playing field was going to hold up. Larry did a few things going into the game to prep it with the hopes that it would hold up pretty good. And I'm pleased to report that we're happy with the state of the field postgame. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have a lot of work to do. There's some things you need to do to get it back to baseball, and hopefully we can get that done in due time. The weather looks pretty good this week. It's going to cool down, but we would have never played the game, Dave and Mike and Sid, if we didn't have 100% confidence that by the time our guys take the field on Friday night, it will be at Major League ready conditions.
What about the, you got another game scheduled, don't you have a North Dakota?
Yeah, North Dakota State said they're going to play Butler to open the open their season, I think, on August 31st of 2019. So that game will have a different flavor. We certainly fully expect we're going to have 25 to 30,000 Bison fans coming down from Fargo for that game.
Actually, the field looked pretty good for football.
Yeah, no doubt. I obviously with the dirt, it's kind of old school. But, you know, I think Larry DeVito did an incredible job. I talked to Coach Caruso after the game. They said the field played fast. They were pleased with the conditions. I know that was another piece that, you know, was an unknown in terms of how players would react to it.
Dave, playoff tickets. I know being a season ticket holder, we've had offers of playoff tickets.
Yeah.
Can you comment on how they're going? You know, it's a stroke of optimism to buy them, but a lot of people are looking out there and saying, you know, they could win that one game in New York.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it, Dave. No, we're pleased. We actually, from our season ticket base, a greater percentage of our season ticket holders took their postseason tickets this year than 2015. We will go on sale to the general public on Thursday, the 28th of this month, via twinsbaseball.com, and people will have a chance then to secure their tickets to potential division series games. So we look forward, obviously, a lot of action there, and fully would expect that if we get to a division series game in Minnesota that we'll have sellouts. So I would encourage people to move on those tickets this Thursday.
Maybe with the success that game you had yesterday, some other colleges might approach you and want to do the same thing.
Yeah, maybe, Sid. You know, right now we're committed to one game with North Dakota State. And again, we won't play this any game there. We also have an agreement, commitment to the University of Minnesota that we're not going to go head-to-head with a Gopher home game. We're not going to bring in FBS-level schools. So that limits the field, so to speak. And football's a nice thing, but it's not going to be a primary thing for the Twins. I can assure you that.
Well, the other thing, Dave, you got to look at is, I mean, you'd have to have a September day where the Twins weren't playing there. And then you get to October, you can't commit to that because you don't know postseason. Yeah. So it gets kind of complicated.
Yeah. You're right. The ideal time frame actually is early November, Mike. That's actually the ideal time frame for us to play football. And originally, that was my hope with St. Thomas, St. John's, that it would be the final MIAC game of the year. If we ever get back to that actually could be a really workable time frame, not just with St. Thomas, St. John's, but potentially with other regional schools, you know, St. Cloud, Mankato, a North Dakota, North Dakota State, a South Dakota, South Dakota State. You could do some fun things in that early November window.
Dave St. Peter, always a pleasure to have you as a guest. And for being on the show, Tim Murray, would love to have you come in. Tim Murray's have a big stake. Thank you.
Dave, all right, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, Dave, before you go away, I just want to point out, historically, I believe this is the first time in the history of this show that we've ever talked to you during a Twins game.
Yeah, I think it is.
Thanks so much.
Hope we get a win. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Bye-bye. Dave St. Peter back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. Fairly short segment here. Got a couple things to talk about. First of all, as we were saying goodbye to Dave St. Peter and joking about playing opposite a baseball game, the next pitch was thrown to Polanco, who hit a home bases empty home run. So the Twins now have a 1-0 lead over Detroit. Sid, it's just amazing how many different players have contributed to the Twins' run of good games over the last 2 months.
And what's he waiting for to rehire Mahler? Tell me what you're waiting for.
I think they will rehire Molitor.
You didn't get one single player that's made an effect on this team. Terry Ryan, all the players he got.
We got a text message. Said, Sid, I agree with you at giving Terry Ryan credit for how well the Twins are playing this year, but then does he have to take the blame for how poorly they played the last 10 years when he signed all the players?
Joe Mauer, that's the most amazing story. He could be the first guy. He made that first error the other day.
Second error, yeah.
He could be the first, second one. He could be the first guy to win a gold glove at both first base and catcher. He's hitting .310 right now.
Yep.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And how about there's a big story in Wall Street Journal Friday about Buxton.
In the Wall Street Journal?
That he is – hit so many things he's reached. It's unbelievable.
The balls that he's run down and his impact as a defensive player. Buxton in the next 5 years will be the league MVP at least once.
I think you're right.
I want to explain, P.J. Fleck was not with it. People were probably waiting at 10:30. With the Gophers having the week off, P.J. asked if he could have the week off. He was out on the road recruiting, some of it by helicopter, other things. So he took the week off. We expect to have P.J. on here next week after the Maryland game. And Sid, we talked a little bit before he came in. Maryland not only lost the game in big fashion last night, they lost their starting quarterback, who it looks like will not be ready for the Gopher game.
So what do you think of that?
They lost their quarterback and Purdue lost some players.
Two defensive players targeted.
I think the Gophers will be underdogs in both games.
No, they won't be underdogs next week.
I would be shocked if they were the underdog versus Maryland.
Did you see the Iowa game last night?
Yeah.
How about that?
4 seconds left.
Yeah.
Four seconds left, and Penn State scored a winning touchdown.
Before you came in, Mike and I talked about it and said if that had been a bowl game, people would have talked about it for a decade. The exciting ending of that game. Now, if you're from Iowa and we're in Iowa City, they talk about taking the air out of the place. They were shell-shocked after coming back to take the lead and then losing on the final play of the game.
Yeah. Iowa's going to be a little tougher in Minnesota.
The Gopher schedule is, it's backlogged, man. That's pretty daunting down the stretch, but they do miss Ohio State and Penn State, right?
Yeah. I would be shocked if the Gophers are not favored. Maryland. I was surprised to hear you say that. After Maryland's yesterday losing so badly as a home favorite and losing their quarterback, there's no way I see them as a favorite against the Gophers.
And Connor Rhoda is unbeaten against Maryland.
That's right. That was his one game last year.
I disagree with you.
Well, good. We will make a note of that. We'll check that out next Sunday. Sid and I are going to take off for the Viking game. Mike got it the rest of the way. You're listening to the Sports Huddle.
The horse-drawn carriage is waiting for you, too.
You are listening to Sports Huddle with Mike.
Welcome back. Sid and Dave have departed for the U.S. Bank Stadium. So I bring in the big hitter, Pete Najarian, who was joined by colleague Esme Murphy on TV today. She wasn't too tough on you, was she, Pete?
She was not too tough on me. She does ask some great questions, and hopefully I provided her with the answers she was looking for. But we covered a lot from the protests to the markets and are they at a top and all that kind of stuff, everything in between. But she was great.
Well, then I'll let you have to talk. We'll just talk a little football quick, okay?
Yeah, I think football.
You're one of the few people I know that played for both the Vikings and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right, and enjoyed both places. I'll tell you what, the Tampa Bay organization has changed over the years, new ownership from when I played under a guy named Hugh Culverhouse. But I'll tell you, they have done a lot of things right, Mike, and they've pieced together a really, really impressive team. And I heard you talking earlier about Hard Knocks. I'll tell you what, that really does open it up for people, the opportunity to see what the team is like. And, yeah, Jameis Winston was probably playing it up to the cameras. There's no doubt about that, but you know what? He became very likable to a lot of people out there, including my wife, who was not a big fan for a long time.
because there are some things in the background, and that's the only thing you remember if you follow it close. Yeah. And what he looked like on there was no doubt that he was the leader of the locker room.
Yeah, and you know what? Anybody who does know him, I mean, if you take away some of the off-field incidents that he had, he is the leader in the locker room. You can see it when he's gone back to Florida State and given some of those, you know, halftime talks or pregame talks. He is an emotional guy, and he is a leader, and he does like to put everything on his back and carry it. And the good thing for him is he doesn't have to do that anymore, Mike. I mean, he's got receivers. He's got running backs. They've put together a football team there that I think offensively and defensively is going to be a powerhouse. Now, I love our Vikings. I think it makes it a little tougher with Case Keenum, but like you were talking about earlier, I think the idea that he likes to be a leader, he likes the weight on top of his back. Let's hope this week's a better week than last week.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to see, it looks like the solidarity in terms of teams linking arms, at least with the Vikings and probably several others with all that's going on here. Explain what it's like inside a locker room when you have maybe some divided opinions, but what happens when you have issues that kind of extend outside of football?
Yeah, and that is a difficult thing, quite honestly. But you know what? I think the beauty of sports is that there's always that unity that comes together. Even if there is disagreements, guys can put that aside. You know, we all want that out of our politicians, and we never seem to get it. But on the sports side, people do come together, and they do they might not fully agree with all aspects of what's going on right now, but they're going to be supportive, and they will be a team. They will be a family, and that's that's really what it's all about. If you want to win, it does take all three phases of the game. You know, remember, you probably remember Lou Holtz always used to talk about that, offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah.
All three phases have to come together, and the players all have to believe in it. And you know what? There is that family. There is that unity. When you're on the field, when you're in those uniforms, you are one. And I think that's what the players are trying to establish at this point in time.
Pete, you played for a lot of different coaches, and you've been around a lot of different coaches.
Yep.
This has got to be one of those difficult weeks for them that way, because they've got to figure out a way to navigate this with their players without alienating views, all those things. What is the makeup of a great coach when you're in a crisis kind of situation like this? You can't lose the team. You got to keep them together, and you've got varying opinions.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you hit it on the nail on the head. The coach has to be in front of this. That you can't avoid it.
Yep.
You've got to be a part of it. You've got to talk about it, and you've got to put everybody on the same page. And that's part of the beauty of it. When you find great coaches in this league, and both in college and professionally, when you find great coaches, they know how to do that. They know how to communicate with their players. They don't always love each other. There's coaches I played for that I did not like, but I always respected them, and they earned that respect by how they handled things in the locker room, on the field, you know, and throughout the week. And that's the one thing that gets lost in all of this is these guys are together 7 days a week. Once that season starts, they're never apart. Yeah, they get a day off on Tuesdays, but in that day off, most of the players will still show up at the facilities. They'll still be around each other. They'll still be around the coaches. So there is something to be said for the coaches that really do a great job of getting the team to buy into what they're selling. And I don't mean that like they're selling something bad. I mean what they're selling is, we've got to play as a team, and we've got to do things, you know, the right way and execution and lean upon each other. And there's going to be tests during the game, but it's how you react from some of those tests. And I think the great coaches know how to do that and prepare their teams to win. And that's why you see the Belichicks there every single year. And there's a few other coaches, I think, coming up the ranks that are showing that they've got that same kind of a leadership quality for their teams as well.
Would a coach, is that leadership council that we hear about from time to time and crucial here, would a coach bring in the six guys that he considers or whatever the number is to be the best leaders and measure the temperature there? Is that how he has to start?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And there's usually a good relationship there. I mean, that's the one great insight I think that everybody, the world gets to get when they see something like that HBO Hard Knocks. They get an opportunity to see that the players do have relationships with the coaches. It's not like the old days where the coaches were up in some tower, they're on a pedestal, and there's no communication back and forth. They communicate. The quarterbacks and the head coaches primarily. But even a guy like myself, when I was a linebacker playing in the NFL, I was lucky enough, I had a great relationship with Ray Perkins. I had a phenomenal relationship when I was playing with the Vikings with all those different coaches. Monty Kiffin was, I'd call him a friend, not just a coach. So, you know, there are those relationships. But, yeah, if you can get the leaders together and try to get them to understand where the coaches are, where the ownership is, and what the direction really is, they will work together and they will stand united. And that's exactly what this is all about.
Pete, the Vikings have another issue, and that's called quarterback.
Oh boy!
You know, week two, does it make a lot of difference for Case Keenum? Does he become better because he's comfortable? Or does it? Tampa's got a book on him. How does this play out?
You know, I think the opportunity that he knows he's going to be the starter, they appointed him much earlier, because early in the week, I heard on the radio, I mean, I heard very early, he's not going to make a decision till Sunday. Well, he made that decision well before Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think that gave Case Keenum an opportunity to say, all right, this is my team. You were talking about his relationship with the other players. I think that's a great thing. You know, everybody always uses that expression, next man up. Well, It does mean something, and next man up has to perform, and it does not hurt him that he's got great receivers around him. I mean, when you look at Thielen and Diggs, and you look at our tight end in Rudolph, and then all of a sudden you look at our running back situation, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things to be excited about if you're a Vikings fan. Now, he doesn't have to win the game. I think the defense can help him win the football game. He just can't lose it. And I don't mean that he's just a manager. I just mean that he can go out there, he can execute, he does not have to throw for 320 yards today. But if he doesn't throw interceptions, if he doesn't force the ball, if the offensive line gives him just enough time where he's not getting hit on every single play, we've got a great opportunity to win, because I look at that defense, I still think the Viking defense is the best in the NFL.
the Gopher football team through three games as they prepare now for the Big Ten, and we got a dose of it watching some of those games yesterday. You realize this is a daunting task. This is going to be a pretty good league. They get, like I said, backloaded for them in November. But what have you seen from the Big Ten so far?
I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen a Big Ten that's as good top to bottom as I've ever seen the Big Ten look. Now, yesterday we saw that step back, and I know there was injuries, but Maryland stepped back. They looked really good. They looked really crisp early on. Yesterday, that wasn't their game, and give credit to Central Florida. But if you look across the Big Ten, Iowa looked strong. Purdue fought Michigan for three quarters, and then it started to come apart in the fourth. But that Purdue football team is very good. Now they lost a player, the targeting issue, and all the rest of that. So if you look across the Big Ten, I think top to bottom, it is by far the best league in all of college football in the Power Five. So it's going to be difficult, and we no longer get to play Oregon State and Buffalo and, Middle Tennessee State. Yeah. We're playing real football teams now. That's going to be a challenge. I think we'll be able to beat a couple of these teams. That back end, that last five or six games, boy, is that going to be a challenge because those are good football teams.
How did you evaluate those three wins? Could you get a lot out of it watching the Gophers or not?
I think the problem is that those teams were enough below us at our present level that it's really difficult to really know where we are. I like our football team. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a Golden Gopher through and through, but I don't think you can analyze against those three schools and say that we're a great football team. We're probably a good football team, and potentially we could be great, but it's going to be a lot different when the Big Ten schedule starts and we start having Big Ten defensive ends coming after our quarterback, the way they can move, the athletes that exist out there. We have not played anybody with the talent levels of a Purdue, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. That Iowa team, how fun was that game last night?
Oh, my gosh. Is that the epitome of college football?
Oh, my goodness. And that stadium, I know we're supposed to be Minnesota guys who hate Iowa.
But you can't help but like that, yeah.
Oh, when you see that atmosphere and you see them just fighting all the way to the bitter end, the final play, I mean, that's Big Ten football, and that's the quality that we've got. And that's a quality we did not see in the first three games, and that's going to be a huge, huge difference as we play, start the Big Ten season now finally on Saturday.
Hey, Pete, thank you so much for giving us some time. I look forward to talking to you real soon, hopefully in person.
All right, I look forward to it as well. Have a good one, Maxie.
You bet. Pete Najarian, nice enough to join us. Mike Max, singing in the sports title. Dave Mona and Sid Hartman had a carriage, and so they're taking a carriage ride over to U.S. Bank Stadium so they can be there for the beginning of the Vikings game. Take a break, come back, stay with us, the sports title.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, sports title. Mike Max, taking the afternoon. Minnesota Vikings and Tampa Bay Buccaneers not far away. Twins leading 1-0 as we speak. Leaks playing at 2:30. It's a wonderful time to be a sports fan in this market across the board. So Sid and Dave are on their way over there, and we'll have extended coverage after the game. Eric Nelson will be in here, and a whole lot in between. Minnesota Vikings fullback is C.J. Hamm. He hails from Duluth Denfeld High School and Augustana University. He's had an amazing rise with the Minnesota Vikings to a starter, a touchdown last week. I had a chance to visit with him about his team in this game.
In Tampa Bay, you've had a chance to look at the scouting report. What do we got defensively?
A team that's very fast. They throw the ball and make plays. So we just got to make sure we execute our job and get the job done.
What, you guys have seen a couple things in the first couple of weeks, injuries you've had to sustain and whatnot. What have you learned about your team in the first couple of weeks?
We're all fighters. We're going to come out here and try to get our jobs done, and we're gonna really strive to make sure we execute in every play.
Everybody talks about an identity of an offense being X's and O's, but you just said something there. Is it more important that you're a fighter than anything else to everybody that lines up?
Most definitely. At the end of the day, you can have a great scheme, but if you're not fighting out there and not trying to get your job done, you're not going to be able to win the play.
It happens fast, too, doesn't it? You go from Monday to Sunday, and all of a sudden you've played two games already. It seems like you wait forever to play a game.
Oh, definitely. I can't believe it. I can't believe we're already two games in the season.
There you go. C.J. Hamm and the Minnesota Vikings preparing to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll take your call, 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. If you're at the St. Thomas game yesterday, maybe you've got some thoughts on how Target Field played. You've got some thoughts on should they stand for the national anthem, give us a call. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. It was a spectacle yesterday in downtown Minneapolis when they put this thing together. And when they went over 37,000 people, and you could see the red and the purple that had engaged and engulfed downtown Minneapolis, it was major props to everyone involved that put that thing together, because I just could not believe how that thing exploded, and their alumni and everything else. And it was a little bit cold, a little bit warm outside, but it was near perfect in terms of the involvement that they got from the alumni, and it spoke volumes. If you give people something they want, they'll gravitate to it. So it was a lot of fun to be around and observe it, and to see how many people it brought out of. I've got a nephew that went to St. Thomas and one that went to St. John's, and so they went together, and all that stuff that went with it. It spoke to the absolute diamonds and gems that we have here in the great state of Minnesota. You want to participate in this show? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. We've got some texts that have come in here. Tell Mike Max to shut up. He adds nothing to the show. Here's another one. Max sucks. Get him out of there. Let's see. What else do we got? Shut up, Mike Max. No one wants to hear what you have to say. Okay. My machine's going down here. Yeah, I'll have to restart that thing to get some more. Really good to hear from you people out there, especially throughout the great state of Minnesota as we peruse through this thing together. I was out at the Minnesota Timberwolves the other day. They had media day. It was outstanding. They have the deepest roster that we have seen in some time, and I would say the best roster. They're going to have some great preseason scrimmages and practices, because they've got some people that can play the game playing with each other, and it'll be interesting to see how much that helps them to play against each other during the season. If you want to hone in, 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Minnesota Twins will play the New York Yankees a week from Tuesday. You can count on that. Hammer, we believe that game will be played in New York a week from Tuesday night, huh?
My understanding is Tuesday night around 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so a week from Tuesday they'd play, and then if they'd win, they'd go right from there to Cleveland.
Correct. That'd be a Thursday start for that series.
All right. Colin Kaepernick's another text message that has driven it. I said it earlier, the thing that coaches hate, why don't they sign Colin Kaepernick? That's a text that we have. The thing that coaches absolutely hate and despise are distractions. And right now he's not a good enough player probably that he could warrant a spot on the roster, because he's such a major distraction. And when you have a major distraction, you have issues on your team that coaches don't like to account for. It sounds good. It sounds good when you bring in a player like that, because it sounds like you're fortifying your roster. The problem is coaches hate to deal with players that they have to answer questions to on a regular basis from the media, unless those people are superstars, unless those people are game changers. And I don't think Colin Kaepernick is that right now. Now, he could still end up with a team, because Sam Bradford is not the last quarterback that's going to be injured this season in the NFL. And every time a quarterback goes down in any city, somebody's going to bring up Colin Kaepernick. Right now, it's just about the Minnesota Vikings, because they're the ones that some people think might be scurrying for a quarterback. Sid Hartman seems to believe that Sam Bradford could be out longer than you think, but I just don't understand how that would be when you're allowing him to practice and you're allowing him to go out there and participate. It sure seemed to me like they wanted him to play, and that he was working in that direction this past week. So can we take a break and see? Yep, take a break, come back. Sports Huddle, Mike, Max, Sid, and Dave on their way to the game. Michelle, are you there?
I
was on the wrong microphone. Michelle Morgan's the associate lecturer at the University of St. Thomas. And you were involved in and putting the deal together yesterday, and what a smash hit it was. You never know for sure. Did it exceed your wildest expectations?
Mike, I think it was better than anybody could have expected. We were so honored and pleased to be able to showcase Division III football on such a national stage, and knowing that, you know, we're representing, you know, two great Minnesota institutions, and doing it at Target Field in partnership with the Twins was fantastic.
Yeah, and when they first broached you on this, was there any reservation about doing this at Target Field as opposed to taking it off campus?
Well, I mean, there's certainly things you have to think about and consider. You know, we wanted to we knew that it was our home game. So how do we best replicate a home game in a venue that is not a football venue and isn't on campus? So that was something that we were concerned about. But, you know, in working and in collaborating with the Twins over the course of the last year, I think we were able, as many people saw yesterday, we were able to make that happen the best that we could.
At the end of the day, when you walk off the field and you got a sample from the fans, the coaches, the players, what was the takeaway?
Wow, I think is the one word to describe it. The weather was great. Earlier in the week, we thought we might have some rain. It was a warm one, but the sun was shining, and really to be a part of history and again, showcase what Division III athletics is and show our scholar athletes to the world was pretty amazing.
Are the wheels turning? Are you thinking about other ideas based on that? Or do you want to be real careful about that because this was so special?
Mike, you know, I think I'd be lying to say that we weren't always trying to think of what's next. But I think that year after year with this rivalry, we've tried to see, okay, what is next? How can we one-up year over year? And it gets harder and harder, as everybody knows. But I think that, you know, we need to find a place. This game certainly we want to keep it on campus, although we have to be concerned with safety and making sure that we can handle that many people. That I think that we would explore opportunities for different venues, but we need to make sure that it felt right. And it's very important to us that we play in front of a crowd that is appropriate to that venue. So, you know, there are larger venues in town, but if we can't fill it, then I don't know how much sense that makes. So, you know, we're still soaking in and processing yesterday and learning from there, but we'll certainly see what the future holds for us.
I'm a former MIAC athlete from down the road at Hamlin there, and I think everybody in the MIAC, you know, first of all, you want to recognize the conference is bigger than St. Thomas and St. John's. Everybody gets that, but everybody, I think, was proud to put something on display so that people got a flavor for just how good these athletes are.
Absolutely, and, you know, that was important to us, too. So the publication that we did specific to yesterday's game showcased rivalry games across the state. So it definitely highlighted and showcased the Division III games within the MIC, the trophy games, but also Division II and Division I. We had some outfield signage that had the constant score updates with all the other MIC schools, and we had all of our conference pennants there. The MIC staff was on site. So it was really a proud moment for the conference, not just both institutions, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes from here, Michelle, but that was really something to see and quite a spectacle, and you guys did a great job. So congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you, Mike.
You bet. Michelle Morgan, University of St. Thomas. Of course, Dave Lee and Eric Nelson had the call yesterday. They were outstanding, as usual, in the pregame and postgame with Steve Thompson. That was big league all the way around. Paul, you've been waiting patiently as Forest Lake. Paul, you want to talk some Twins?
Yeah, first I want to say I think you do a great job. In fact, I think you're one of the better or best sports reporters in the cities.
Well, that offsets some of those texts, so thank you.
When I first heard about the Kinsler trade, late July, my first reaction was, why would they do that? They're not out of the race. And I'm just your average baseball fan. I guess my big question is, how could the Twins' brain trust miss that they were still in contention in their thinking about trading Kinsler? And I still don't know what they got for him. And second question is, what's happened to Glenn Perkins?
He's sitting there. They were right on the bubble, right at the trade deadline, right at the place that you don't want to be. Are we in it? Are we out of it? And they had just lost a few games in Oakland. And they said, we're out of it. Let's move Kinsler. So that's what happened there. In retrospect, I think they'd like to have that back, even if they could sign him again. They got away with one on that one. Glenn Perkins has been pitching a lot in mop-up roles, and they've had a lot of games that have had wide margins of victory or defeat that he's actually got more innings in than anybody thought. A lot of people thought that Glenn Perkins would not pitch again this year and maybe beyond, that he might be done. He's given them enough that they'll at least take a look at him. I would doubt he would be on the postseason roster. Maybe he could be a left-hander that could get an out. I haven't assessed their pitching staff. But I think that he's pitched better than they anticipated since he came back. And he's under contract with him, so there's no downside to it. He's on the 40-man roster. So that's what's happened with Glenn Perkins. They're kind of been able to slowly bring him back, and they've had some real advantages because they've had so many blowouts over the last 6 weeks that they've been able to do some things. Mike Max in on the sports title. Sid and Dave are at the game. We'll finish up this edition when we come back. Stay with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, sports title.
Mike, Max, and Sid and Dave on their way to the game. A couple quick texts here. No one cares about Division III football. 20,000 showed up because they were scared about missing out. Not true. WCCO has officially exposed the St. Thomas benefactor. You know, that is something we fight here because I'm a Hamline grad, and there's a whole lot of people that graduated from other schools in the MIAC. And let me be crystal clear about this. St. Thomas purchases the airtime, and certainly we carry the games, et cetera, but we are very conscious of that. That when you are serving an entire MIAC area, you cannot hone in and say one team is your team, and we are very concerned about that all the time from an image standpoint, and I for sure will fight that fight that we serve the entire MIAC area, and we are not for one team. When you can reach the entire conference like we can, we want to be crystal clear that those other schools, all the other schools in the conference are important too, and so are their alumni that we do business with and all those things on a regular basis. So this is a comment I hear often and probably haven't addressed strongly enough, but we hope to serve the entire MIAC, and we are incredibly conscientious of all the other schools and all the other great athletes and students and many of those people in high-ranking positions that we do business with here at WCCO. Minnesota Vikings have released a statement from the Wilfs. Is this from the Wilfs?
Yes.
As it pertains to the unity and all that has gone on in the NFL. Professional sports offer a platform unlike any other, a platform that can bring people from a variety of backgrounds together to impact positive change in our society. As owners, this is from the Wilfs, it is our job to foster an environment that recognizes and appreciates diversity of thought and encourages using this platform in a constructive manner. Rather than making divisive statements, we believe in promoting thoughtful, inspiring conversation that unifies our communities. We are proud of our players, coaches, and our staff for the important role they play in our community, and we fully support their constitutional right to respectfully and peacefully express their beliefs. That from Ziggy and Mark Wilf and the entire Wilf family. It sounds as if the Minnesota Vikings could link arms here, and I would. This is probably the great compromise that you're going to see in the NFL is that teams will link arms to show that they are unified as players and as a league, more so than making a statement as to what they believe in, what Donald Trump said, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, this has been a very difficult and trying time, but it sounds like the Vikings today will link arms for the national anthem. I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to stay in the locker room during the national anthem. Other teams could take that as well. But the point is they're making a point, and they're saying we are together on this. We are together as a team, and it really, independent of our stance and what Donald Trump said and everything else, we are a team, and we are a league, and this league has fostered a lot of dreams and made a lot of people a whole lot of money. And so at a very delicate time and for the NFL as a whole, because of all the publicity about concussions and everything else, they need to find a way to navigate through this tricky situation as well. And I believe what you will see is most teams will find a way to link arms and say we're all one. We have different opinions, but we respect the fact that we're all one team, one league, all those things. So Sports Huddle, I'm heading over to the game next week, Dave. Sid, we'll be back here in the hot seat and much more. Thanks for listening. Rashidi Rajkumar coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.